The essay we're learning, Mechtam Eliyahu, Volume 1, page 67, is called The Wisdom of the World. In the last class we mentioned that a person with insight has the ability to reach, to grasp for himself that which is most desired in the world. What's known as Chemda Sa'olam, the most desirous possible goal in this world, is available basically to any person according to his choices. And we mentioned that there are three gifts which were created in the world. If a person has even one of these three gifts, they are a means to reaching the desire of the world. Any one of these three gifts can bring you to the highest possible goal, and that specifically, however, if you recognize them as being gifts from the heaven and you use them for the purposes with which the heaven gave you these gifts. But the same gifts, when they come from flesh and blood, and as they're used for the purposes of building up this physical world, so then the gifts do not last. Ultimately they end, and therefore any pleasure that you can derive from these gifts ends as well. The three gifts we're speaking about are Chochmah and Gvura and Oysha, wisdom, might, and wealth. Those are the three gifts: wisdom, might, and wealth. So just having these three gifts is not yet reaching the ideal goal. You don't reach the ideal just with the three gifts. We mentioned before they're only means, they're not an end in of themselves, and therefore those, as we mentioned before, those who take it just for building up the physical world will ultimately be disappointed. They'll ultimately be left with empty hands, and not only that, but these gifts can actually make it worse for them. It can actually speed up their end. And the reason is because people who grasp these gifts just to fulfill their own desires, their own wishes, so therefore they're actually promoting evil in the world, and whatever is produced is ultimately not beneficial to the person who has it. Okay. So we're continuing here on page 67. The text says as follows: Kishinamo Dal Sibasadov, why is it that this is so? In other words, if these are such wonderful gifts, why is it that they can be so harmful to the person who misuses them? And the answer is, right, the question is, Lama mafriya hashi'ifa le'ilam azeh dech le'richu shachochma v'yishe v'agvura? Why is it that a person's drive to reach the pleasures of this world, why does it interfere with the acquisition of wisdom and wealth and might? And as the holy side of wisdom, wealth, and might. But why can a person not? Why is it that these gifts can only be used for sanctity? If these are such wonderful things, so why can they only be used in terms of coming closer to Hashem? And to use the same gifts for the pleasures of this world is going to definitely fail. The reason is because of the goal that Hashem has implanted into the world. And as there is the world, Kodesh Baruch Hu created a world, and then he has a goal for the world. It's not, the whole world is only for the goal for which it was created. The whole thing is dependent on the goal that Hashem built into the world. And Avriya Nivres L'Shem HaHavoi Shelo L'Chud. The world is not created for its present. The world is not for itself. There's no such thing as a world just to be for itself. It doesn't live for itself. It lives for something beyond it, something outside of it, something that's beyond. Use the analogy once of a watch. If you have, let's say, even a Swiss watch, one of the best watches in the world, with the ultimate mechanism, with all the wheels and the cogs, it works perfectly. It's the most perfect, brilliant watch. But if it's lacking the little cardboard hands which tell the time, right, those little two strips of cardboard which tell, right, which point to the hour and the minutes, so then the whole watch is worthless. Right? The watch can be, you know, worth, it can be, cost thousands of dollars, but if you don't have the hands, which cost a few pennies, so therefore the whole watch is worthless. If it's only for itself, it's only working for the sake of itself, and it's not doing anything for any, it's not producing any benefit for that which is beyond itself. If it's not going beyond itself, it's only serving itself, and it's not serving anything beyond itself, so it becomes useless, it becomes worthless. Right? The creation is not for itself, the creation not purely for himself. It's only for the goal which has been spoken out, which has been said. And which is the spread, the holiness and the spread of Hashem. Right? We say that Hashem created the world because he wants to bestow goodness on the world. Now that goes together. When we strive to reach that goodness, together with our striving for goodness, for Hashem's goodness, if we strive to do the will of Hashem and come closer to Hashem, so together with striving for that goodness, we bring Hashem's presence into the world. Hashem's presence will enter the world and spread throughout the whole world. That is, the two go together. Us doing the right thing is not just beneficial for ourselves, but also it will bring the divine presence into the world. The divine presence will spread throughout the entire world. That is just the way it works. And that is the goal, and that's what the world was created for, and only for that reason. And only then it works. That's what it's like using an appliance for a reason it wasn't created, right? You want to use a pencil as a back scratcher. So it wasn't created as a back scratcher. It's not long enough, and it can make your shirt all dirty, and it doesn't reach. And it can snap in two. It's not created for that function. It's not the right function. If you want a back scratcher, so buy a back scratcher. If you have a pencil's for writing with. It's not for scratching your back with. So the same thing, the world is not for scratching our back with, this world. We're not here in this world just to enjoy it. There is a goal in the world that's built into the world, and we have to use it for the right purpose. For Lechain, I just thought of an analogy this week as follows. Let's say you're part of a group that's having cooking lessons with the top chef in the world. The top chef in the world has come to Kiryat Sefer, and he's giving you cooking lessons, and he's going to teach you how to make this marvelous dish. So of course all the students are assembled there, and all the ingredients are there as well. He's got all these amazing ingredients, right? There's whatever there is, there's dried fruit, and there's all sorts of ingredients, right? There's flour and whatever it is, there's all types of nuts, etc. All these ingredients out on the table, and he's ready to start the lesson, and all the students are waiting, and all the ingredients are out, and the master's about to start his lesson when suddenly he has a phone call. So they call him out of the room. He has to go out of the room to take the, and the students are left alone with all the stuff there. So they start nibbling. They start nibbling on the right? They start nibbling all the stuff, and some of the stuff isn't even cooked. They're going to get a stomach ache from it because they're eating stuff that's not cooked, right? They're eating raw materials which are not even cooked. They're going to get a stomach ache from it. So that's the whole thing. Now there is a whole plan for the world, but if we start nibbling from this world before we wait for the master to give instructions to reach the goal, the final goal is something very delicious which you will enjoy, right? And then you can enjoy it, and then it will be handed out. Everyone will get after it's baked and cooked, etc., everyone will get to taste it, to sample it. But if you go and start eating the ingredients before he's cooked them, so then that spoils the whole thing. So that is that's what we have to wait for. You see, the difficulty is, just another point here, the difficulty is, what's the difficulty of keeping Yiddishkeit? Right? It's a perfect plan, it's a beautiful plan, and there's reward is promised. Right? So why should people pick the rewards of this world over the rewards of Torah, the rewards of the world to come? The answer is, because they don't want to wait. Right? That's the answer. There's no... Right, there's, they're in, right. Therefore, in others, the rule... The reward of the way of the Torah is a reward you have to wait for, because you're not immediately rewarded. You're promised reward. You get to see little promissory notes. It's all marked down. It's all written down. but you don't get it in this world. The world is, the reward is not in this world, and therefore that's what makes it so hard to compete with the physical world. The physical world is immediate gratification, immediate reward, right? You do it, you get your money straight away, you get your pleasure straight away, you get your enjoyment straight away. So therefore it seems to be a losing battle. But for the intelligent person, he realizes it's worth waiting. Just like a medical student, let's say. A medical student's prepared to go through 7 years of grueling studies and then another internship, and it's all pure torture. It's all pure torture, but he keeps it in mind that the final goal is worthwhile, all the suffering in the meantime. So therefore he suffers through, and because he suffers through, ultimately he's rewarded. Right? And that's the idea. We have to have the intelligence to hang on to the goal, even though we're not being paid off right now. We're not receiving the reward right now. There's no immediate gratification. There's certain benefits or side benefits, like the... what's it called? Perks. There are some perks in being Jewish, right? There are some wonderful perks. But the actual reward, the huge reward, the giant reward, that is not in this world. And that's really what requires faith. It requires us to trust in Hashem, that He will reward us ultimately, and to have patience. Ulechein, and therefore, since the world is only created for its ultimate goal, Tzarich she'hakol yishtalev b'milchemes harayim hatov, it all has to fit in with the war. There's a war between evil, right? The war against evil by good. The war of good versus evil. There is a war. It's a war. We're in the middle of a war. Because every time you give into your weaknesses, there's a victory for the side of evil. Every time you overcome your weaknesses, so then that's a victory for the side of good. And it's an ongoing war. It's an invisible war, but it's a real war. It's a real war, and there are casualties, and there are injuries, and there's right? It's a war. So therefore, everything is part of that war. And therefore, these gifts which we spoke about before, the wealth and the wisdom and the might, are all part. They all have their share in this war. That's what they have to. They're the weaponry. They're the arsenal that we have to be using in this war to help us win the war. Until finally, the ultimate goodness will be revealed. Then you can put the weapons down. Once the final victory is declared, we can rest. Right? And that victory will be when ultimate goodness is revealed, and the other side, the opponent, is completely vanquished, is completely conquered. And then it'll be that the whole world, with its thousands, with its millions of creatures, not just humans, but all of the creatures in the world, will all be a part of the revelation of Hashem's name. It's all about revealing Hashem's name in the world. And therefore, if this is the goal, if this is what we're working towards, right, then ultimately Hashem's name will be revealed throughout the entire world. It comes out that anything which is interfering or which is obstructing, right? It's detracting from the reaching these goals. So any obstacle, ain't surfless kaim, ultimately it be nullified. Right? Anything that interferes with Hashem's plan for the world will ultimately it'll be bulldozed over. Maybe in the meantime it has some sort of standing, but it's only a temporary standing. Ultimately, it'll be removed. And therefore we find that any success which comes from using these gifts not for the Torah way, people who are using these gifts, wisdom or wealth, etc., for their own personal pleasure, for their own personal fame and reputation and glory, they're using it just for personal gain. Things that we see every day, people who are snatching these gifts, they're snatching the might, and they're snatching wisdom, and they're snatching wealth, all for their own personal glory. So firstly, we have to realize Hashem is only allowing that to happen in the meantime as one of the stages, because there is a whole process that has to be gone through, right? It has to be There are two opposing sides, and in the meantime, Hashem's also feeding his enemy. Right? While he's feeding us and taking care of us, he's also feeding his enemy, because he's part of the final goal. Kibrutzois Hashem lelamedes ne'odam shivakub atzmo al darkam hamasulefes. Because it's important. Why would Hashem be feeding his enemy? Why is Hashem also supporting the side of evil? Why did they have success as well? And we spoke about this a little bit in the last class. Because it's the desire of Hashem to teach us that by ourselves, we should prove to ourselves, we should realize ourselves that this is the false path. You see, what's ultimately necessary is that we should be choosing the way of Hashem. We should want the way of Hashem. It has to. Hashem can't force feed us. We have to say, yes, this is right, this is wrong, this we want, this we don't want. It's up to us. We have to make that choice. We have to see it ourselves, and we have to choose it ourselves. And that's not so easy, because the other side is very appealing. Sometimes it's very, very attractive to us. So therefore, that's why Hashem allows them also to grow and to be and to draw us with such magnetism, right? Because we have to see the other side, and then we have to ultimately come to reject the other side. No, this is not an objective. This is not what life is about. And we have to ourselves reject it. That's really the goal. But in the meantime, he's supporting the other side as well. He's feeding the other side as well. He hands over wealth and wisdom and might into their hands. He gives it to them, the other side. He gives it to them, the tachlisam, the taivosam, that they should use it for their own plans, their own goals, and their own lusts, their own desires, that they should be able to feed their own lusts. We see them succeeding at first. We see them with tremendous success at first. But ultimately it's lost to them. Ultimately it falls apart. Ultimately they lose it. Like we said from the Midrash, ultimately it's going to be whatever ultimately means, whether it's hundreds of years, whatever it is, tens of years, hundreds of years, whatever it is, ultimately it's going to be lost from them. Ultimately they don't have pleasure from what they've built. And a person builds himself a whole empire, and either the whole thing collapses, or it's stolen from him, or the economy crashes, or otherwise he leaves it behind. Right? He leaves empty-handed. He leaves this world. So if he can't take it with him, he leaves with empty pockets. He leaves with nothing at all. So ultimately, he loses it. These heroes of the secular world, ultimately they have to. They all die, and when they leave with nothing. Right? There's nothing. There's no certificates they can take with them. There's no photographs, no photo albums of all that they can take with them. It's totally untransferable. You can't transfer any of that into the next world. It's only a source, of pain. Shai sofeli posim menu al yedei kina taiva redifas hakovod av Yisrael. Ultimately, they're going to lose it all through their enviousness, the envy, and the gluttony, and the pursuit of honor. All of these things eventually strip them of whatever they're trying to strive. Right? And if not those things, if not jealousy and lust and pursuit of honor, ultimately death will take it from them. Those who remain with empty hands. And therefore, okay, as follows: once a person experiences the collapse, the disappointment of his material goals, once he experiences that disappointment, so then, and everything slips away from him, he's left with nothing. So he gets a new chance to start again with the right goals in mind. See, that's really the way it works. Hashem gives it to him, and then he loses it all, and then he's got a chance to try and learn his lesson and start again. You're starting fresh with nothing, but with a new outlook, with a new set of goals. Right? The last set of goals didn't work for you. Now start with a new set of goals. People don't always learn that lesson, but that's really what Hashem wants. It could be with a Gilgul, it could be a person's reborn, or it could be even here, a person loses his wealth in this world, and then that's a wake-up call that maybe he should redirect his energies in a slightly different direction. He should be living his life in a slightly different direction. Right. He has a new opportunity to start his life again in the right direction. Clearly, we see not many learn the lesson. Because you have these multimillionaires, they lose everything, and they start again. And again, they want to be multimillionaires. So therefore, not right. That's well, they reckon, you know, they can't see the fault. They don't see the mistake, and therefore they try to do the same thing again. They try and build the exact same thing again. Many people like that will just right. It's called the expression of Chazal is kelev hashav el keyoi. A dog that returns to his vomit. A dog eats something that's bad for its stomach, and it doesn't really help him, so he vomits it up. But then, you know, he goes sniffing around, so he goes and eats it again. Yeah. Look, the truth is we're receiving new information all the time, and it's for us to think, it's for us to be thoughtful. If we think about the messages that are arriving at us, we receive messages all the time. All of us receive messages all of the time, which are helping to align our path, right? To help to make our path more direct, because we're all making mistakes all the time as well, right? You know, as we have mistaken hashkofas, etc., within our own build-up. You know? We have some of it's right, but some of it's a little bit off. But it's not perfectly on track, and therefore we have help, but we have to interpret that information and use it in the right way. This is a very important point. We receive wisdom not only for books, we receive wisdom something just by sitting quietly by ourselves and contemplating and thinking through, and just even someone without even thinking actively, just by sitting quietly with no distractions, the ideas come by themselves sometimes, and we see we are enlightened. If we put ourselves in a receptive mood, it's amazing what we can receive. It's like, you know, radio, when you tune it in, so it receives, it picks up waves. There is stuff out there that's accessible to us. Sometimes just sitting quietly can be the key. Not many learn the lesson from their mistakes. And again, they make the same mistake. They try and do the same thing. And again, they get the same results. And in this way, is the way it comes out, the war between good and evil. However, there are individuals who do learn the lesson. Right? Many don't, but there are individuals who do. And they do make repairs, they do make corrections, they do adjust their path of life. And ultimately they join the camp of those who are the warriors to fight the battle of Hashem, to war for on behalf of Hashem. So therefore, while our camp is the smaller camp, those who are fighting for the glory of Hashem, ultimately, we do have new subscribers, new members joining the team, and ultimately, we will win this war. Ultimately, we have to win this war. However long it takes, the war is going to be given to us. Now, what is the idea of the generation of the flood? We can see an illustration of this. The generation of flood. Oysa Dovashi's gun is the same idea we mentioned. Hey. Shachuchu es atachlis. It was an entire generation. Imagine, an entire generation forgot the purpose of the world. And this was a generation that knew great people. This is a generation that had met the earliest inhabitants of the world. I don't know if they actually knew Adam Arishon, but it could even be that some of them had met Adam Arishon or they'd seen him. They forgot the goal for which the world has been created. The Shema Nivra Olam. Why were they put in this world? And they directed their whole lives towards the pleasures of this world, building up this world. This was the generation of the flood. They put all of their drive, all of their ambitions was only in terms of building up this physical world. All of the animal instincts and animal indulgences that come together with the pleasures of this world. And there wasn't a single individual, with the exception of Noach, and his family, who knew the goal of the world. They forgot it all. The entire generation forgot it. And there is no merit for the continuing of the world without this goal. If you miss the goal, so then the project gets scrapped. Right? If the whole project was set up to reach a certain goal, If the goal has been forgotten, so there's no rationale for keeping the project going. If you can't reach your goal, so then the whole thing has to fall apart. And that's exactly what happened. Right from this, it happened. Hishchis kol bosses darkon aris. All of the whole world had become perverted. All flesh had become perverted. Ki lo yizuader, they were on the wrong path. Velo lezei kivin hakadosh baruch hu b'riyas ha'olam. This was not Hashem's intention in creating the world. So therefore, Hakadosh Baruch Hu brought the destruction of the world. In order that there should be the opportunity for the creation again to try and reach its goal, al yedei Noach, through Noach. And as Noach was the only one who was doing it right, everyone else was spoiling it. So therefore, let's wipe the whole thing. Let's wipe the slate clean. Let's start a new world with Noach. Now that's an exaggerated application of what we've learning here. Right? What we see in our own lives in this very small scale, where certain individuals will collapse and go down, certain individuals, or we ourselves sometimes have certain falls where we will fall and we'll be able to pick ourselves up, that we can rescue ourselves from our own mistakes. We're given opportunities to learn a lesson and then to adjust our life path to be living for the right purpose and not for the wrong purpose. Chazal Mesaprim Lanu Al Masav Masan Kaviyochel Hamisnel Ben HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lebein Umas Ha'olam. Right, there's a famous Gemara which deals with the whole dialogue between Hashem and the nations of the world, the Vo Yom HaMishpat HaGadol, at the end of days. At the end of days, the Gemara says that Hashem will sit with a Sefer Torah in his lap, and he will declare, whoever has occupied him with this, himself with this, referring to the Torah in his lap, let him come and receive his reward. So that's the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, plays out that scene. And what happens is that all of the nations gather around, they all want their reward. Right? Whoever toiled in Torah, let him come and get their reward, and they all come. They're all coming. Right? And each one of them says, right, it's the example brought there is the Romans and the Persians and all the different nations of the world, they all want their reward. And he says, well, you know what did you do? So the one says, well, we built marketplaces, we built bridges, we built bathhouses. The kulam lo asinu ela b'shvil Yisrael sheith asku b'Torah. And they're going to say, and we did it all for the Jewish people that they should learn Torah. We built marketplaces, we built bathhouses, we had bridges, we created cities, and we did it all of what we did, all the technology we did, and all the advancements that we did, and all the advances of civilization, we did it all so that the Jewish people should learn Torah. That's what they're going to declare to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is the Gemara. Omelem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem says back to them, Shoitim Sheva'olam, you idiots. Klum Yesh Bechem Magid Zois, do you have any type of Torah spokesman? Do you have anyone who speaks Torah? Do you have amongst yourself anyone who proclaims a Torah lifestyle? Ain't Zoe Sela Torah? There's no one in your team. There's no one in your whole civilization that's teaching Torah. That's pointing the nation towards Torah. That's the Gemara over there. So he sends them all away empty-handed. They all come. They all want to say, yes, we help the Jewish people learn Torah. Our technology and our inventions, etc., all help the Jewish people to learn Torah. So there, he sends them all away empty-handed. Now, this has to be understood, this Gemara, as follows. Hadava Mafli. Firstly, let's look at Rav Dessler's question. I just want to bring another point out, which hopefully will come out in this essay, as follows. Hadava Mafli Shielahem Le'uma Sa'ila Metzach Nefeshes. Firstly, the most amazing thing in that Gemara is that the absolute chutzpah, the brazenness of the nations of the world, even though they know their claim is a lie, everything we did only so that the Jewish people should learn Torah. Imagine the Nazis coming along. We did it only that the Jewish people should learn Torah. So obviously their claim is a total lie. Who would possibly believe that whatever they built, whatever they did, they only did it so that the Jewish people would learn Torah? Nevertheless, they're not embarrassed to say it to Hashem. They come in front of Hashem, and without any embarrassment at all, they say, we did it all for the Jewish people. I said, well, how do we understand that, Gemara? How do we understand what they're saying? The truth is as follows, that someone who's a sinner, who's ingrained in his sin, he's totally enveloped in his own sin, he's totally obsessed by his own sin. I feel our peace shall Gehenim ain't a chayzer b'tshuva. Even at the doorway of Gehenim, he won't do tshuva because he's totally obsessed with achieving his desire. He's like he's a one-track mind. He's got a one-track mind. He's totally obsessed with reaching his own self-indulgence. So therefore, he can't see any other option than trying to achieve his own desires. The only thing he can see is that I have to fulfill my own desire. I have a desire. This desire has to be filled because I need to give myself what I want. That's the way they look at it. Also, we know this is a tremendous force. A person's desire, what a person wishes, what he wants for himself, is a tremendous force because it totally envelops him. There's an expression of the rabbis, that one who sins in a vera, it wraps him. His sin itself wraps around him like he does a certain avera. That avera is like a blanket which envelops him. It's like a cocoon. He becomes totally surrounded by his avera. He's totally lost within his avera. Right? And that's one expression. Another expression is that the Gemara brings the kshuraboy kakelev. It's tied to him like a dog when he does a sin. So it's like a dog is tied to his, with a leash, is tied to his leg. Everywhere he walks, the dog walks with him because that's, he's sinned in that, so therefore he's become attached to that sin. So it's like a dog that's attached to him. All of them are underneath the control of their desires. Their desires are their masters. They're all slaves to their desires. And their desires have no boundaries. I want more, I want this, I want that, I want the following. Right? There's no end to wanting. Especially when you start receiving, then you want even more. So therefore there's no end to wanting, there's no control on their wants. And therefore it could be that even at this awesome, terrible moment, when they're confronted with the absolute truth, Hashem says, who is it that's been promoting the Torah? They stand to be judged before the King of all kings. When they're in the world of truth, where absolute purity resides, absolute, everything is all clear, crystal clear. Right? In the world of truth, everything becomes crystal clear. Everything is understood. Everything is shines with clarity. Right, the good and the evil, it's all absolutely, totally obvious. And b'koicham liparid miritzon, they cannot leave their desires. They're so attached to their desires. They're so meshuga with their own desires. Shekosha achem kekelev. Right, as we mentioned, it's tied to them like a dog. And therefore they have the chutzpah to lie to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, since they want their own desires and they can see no other option than their own desires. So they come and say, but really what we wanted was to help the Jewish people learn Torah. It's just, you know, that's what we are, that's who we are, but that's what we really wanted. And they say a total lie. They spent their whole lives pursuing their own self-interests, and now they come and lie to Hashem as if, you know, well, what can we do? You know, we were right. We're here, whatever we did, we really wanted it all the time. We wanted the benefit of the Jewish people. Now, Vadaki Hamei is Adkadeka. Someone who has such an audacity to come to Hashem and say such a lie to Hashem. It's impossible to say to him, you're a liar. You can't say to him, you're a liar. He knows he's a liar. He knows he's lying. He says, you know, he comes in with an open lie, and he says, I wanted the benefit of the Jewish people. And therefore, the way Hashem answers them, right, he calls them fools, is to show them that even according to what they're saying, what they're saying just cannot be so. Because it can't be, they don't have the ability, whatever they built. They say, we built up the physical world, we built the skyscrapers, and we built the ocean liners, and we built the airplanes, and we built the computers. It's impossible that they could claim they did it for Israel to learn Torah, because the intention of the Torah is the opposite. Because the way of Torah is the opposite of the desire of a person. Shviras harotzen, we call tayvus habehemus. The way of the Torah is when we direct our energies to doing the will of Hashem, which goes against self-indulgence, indulging our own lusts. And therefore, if they don't have the lifestyle of going against their own impulses, their own interests, so therefore, which if they, in other words, if they don't have Torah, and you had no intention at all, the buildings that you built should be sanctified, to be sanctified in the name of the heavens, and bring the world closer to Torah. Because you were totally oblivious of this, you were totally oblivious of Torah. They're so involved in their own lifestyle, they're totally unaware of Torah. I mean, they know about these funny guys with black hats, but they're totally oblivious to what it's about and what they're trying to do. They're so caught up with their own desires, so they don't know about the Torah lifestyle at all. How could you be building for the Klal Yisrael that they should be busy with Torah? Just let me finish the paragraph. I want to explain something here. The world is only built by these three gifts we spoke about before, right? The wealth and the might and the wisdom. Someone who's just using these gifts for his own personal fulfillment, his own personal desire, he has lost that which is to be cherished in this world. He's lost the purpose of the world. And any thoughts and any actions which come from these gifts, which are not by the way of Torah, it's all false, as we explained before. Okay. Basically, what we have to say is as follows. This was actually quite a difficult passage, but what we have to realize is as follows. There are only two types of desire in the world. There are only two types of desire. One is the desire to fulfill the will of Hashem, rotzen Hashem, the desire to do Hashem's will. If we have a rotzen to do Hashem's desire, that's number one. The other desire is to do my own desire. Right? There are only two types of rotzen. Rotzen is the wish. I have a wish to do Hashem's desire, or I have a wish to do my own desire. The truth is that when you do Hashem's rotzen, there are many, many benefits. Ultimately. We're benefiting ourselves. When we do the desire of Hashem, we're benefiting ourselves. That's true. But it has to come from that direction. We strive to please Hashem, and then He gives us gifts, and then He helps us along, and then He sends us success. But it all starts with a recognition of Hashem, and that we're here to serve Him. We're here to do His will. We're here to carry out His mission. We're on His team. We're fighting for Him. We're living the lifestyle He wants us to live to the best of our abilities. Right? We're not perfect. We're not machines. We're not supermen and superwomen. But we're trying to the best of our ability to do His desire. Right? And therefore He helps us. And that which unfolds in the world is all towards achieving His desire, because that's what we want. And the person is defined by what he wants. The true definition of the person, the true who is my true self? Who is my true self? It's what I want. What I want is really the definition of who I am. What I want is who I am. And that's the truth. And the nations of the world who are pursuing the other desire, the desire of total self-fulfillment, they want to have it good. They want to do their own wishes. They run off to their own desires, and their own desires is the only thing they recognize. So therefore, they lose it all. Because they've cut Hashem out of their world. They shut Hashem out of their world. Now, Hashem allows them to prosper to a certain degree, and therefore they do succeed in building buildings and building bridges and building technologies and building all sorts of wonderful things. And you know what? The other thing is that the Jewish people does get benefit from all of those things. We do get benefit from whatever is built in the world. But that's also a type of help that they've been receiving. Maybe it's a help that comes from Hashem because he has it as part of his ultimate plan. Or maybe it's a help that comes from the Yetzer Hara, is helping them to encourage them to go in their path of falsehood. who's encouraged them to stumble and to get further away from Hashem. Whatever it is, they do succeed in building buildings, etc. But it's not really, that's not really who they are. That's not really what they're doing. That's more of a gift that's been given to them. Their actual material successes, what they've actually built, the buildings they've built, the bridges they've built, the economies they've set up, the currencies, the monies that they've printed, whatever it is, the technology that they've invented, all of that is really a gift from Hashem. It's all a gift from Hashem. And who are they? Who are they? They are their own wants. And what are their wants? Their wants are not the will of Hashem, that's the other want. The want is to just pleasure myself, to indulge myself. That is what they want. And therefore, at the end of the day, they come before Hashem and they say, but you know, we also contributed. And he's saying to them, you contributed nothing because your desire was the other direction. You were pulling in the other direction. You were trying to destroy everything. You were not helping the Jewish people learn Torah. You were trying to spoil the Jewish people from learning Torah. Ultimately, I used you for the benefit of the Jewish people. The Jewish people were able to use what you created, but you never created it for them. You only created it to indulge yourself, and therefore your whole movement is away from me, and therefore I cannot give you any reward at all. There is no reward at all for you. What was created, that's from the heavens. These gifts, as we mentioned before, the wealth and the wisdom and the might, are all gifts from the heavens. The question is, what do you do with those gifts? So therefore, and what you do is what you do is based on what you want, and what you want is the direction you're going. So if what you want is self-indulgence, so therefore you're heading for destruction. Right? And if what you want is to do the will of Hashem to the best of your ability, so then it's construction. Then you're going towards Hashem. Then Hashem is helping you, and then you're on the right path. You might stumble 100 times, but you're on the right path, and Hashem will help us to try and eventually reach that goal, which is the ultimate goal. V'zev gam aviu atagum shal haposuk Yeshayahu. There is a verse in Yeshayahu, and on that verse, the verse is in chapter 62. On that verse, the Targum says like this: At the Avid Pulkan Letzion lo aniach lamamaya. Until salvation comes to the Jewish people, the nations will not be left alone. They will not have any rest. Right, until comfort will come to Yerushalayim, to Jerusalem, so there will be no serenity, there will be no peace in the world. The world will not be a settled place. The world will not be a quiet, prosperous, and happy place until salvation comes to the Jewish people, until salvation comes to Yerushalayim and Eretz Yisrael. No rest can come to the world. It's impossible for mankind to receive any pleasure from this world. That they should have serenity, that they should have peace. Until the final goal for which the world was created comes about. He calls man. As long as these three gifts, which we've been speaking about all along, is only being used for person's own self-fulfillment, self-indulgence, and he's just using it for himself, so therefore the outcome has to be that there is no peace for the wicked. That's a posuk. There is no peace for the wicked, says Hashem. They can never reach any type of contentment, any type of serenity. This must be according to the ultimate goal of the world. Just finally, eventually, when the world will come to a type of comfort for Yerushalayim, where the Jewish people will get the upper hand and they will be recognized as be doing the will of Hashem and living the function of the world, living the purpose of the world. There'll be a redemption for Tzion, for Israel, right? For Israel, for those who have received the Torah, those who learn the Torah, and they're living their lives. When it becomes that the world eventually will start moving towards a Torah lifestyle, and then the whole world gets onto the path which leads to the revelation of Hashem's glory. Then there can be serenity. Then finally there can be serenity for the nations of the world. Therefore, the final goal can only be reached when finally the world will realize that they do have to leave the Jewish people to study Torah, they do have to encourage them to study Torah, and they do so have to support them in living a Torah lifestyle, then the whole world will be in the right direction. When they will be encouraging the Jewish people to do the right thing, then there's a chance for peace in the world. Then there's a chance for serenity and contentment and prosperity in this world. Only then. Right? And really it's for us, therefore, it's really up to us to make this decision. Because when we commit ourselves to a Torah lifestyle, then we do affect other people. And then ultimately there's a ripple effect which will affect the whole world as well, ultimately.